Hey everyone, welcome to episode 8.
Welcome to Friends and Factoids, everybody.
I'm Devin.
I'm Stephanie.
So hey, how are you doing today?
All right. We got a new baby in the family. So new little orange kitty for the...
I was going to say, just for people out there, not a baby.
Yeah. No, God, no. No more of those. My children are a little older now. I mean, not old, but...
They're old. You don't need to have any others.
Yeah, no, we're good. I swear in front of them now. I'm happy I can do that.
You've always been able to do that.
I told Lauren,
her kid's gonna be
earmuffs, everybody, but it. I told Lauren not to be a dick the other day, and she looked at me and I was like, it was a dick move. Don't do that. And she kind of looked at me and smiled.
The word is used for many different reasons. I know. And many different things. So you got a new kitty mouse.
We got a new kitty. Well, that's still up for debate. My stepsister was his foster mama. She fosters like loads and loads of little litters of kitties. And they had one that my husband was like, you know, I really want one that's nice and snuggly and cute because R2 aren't that snuggly. And so he's like, I really want a boy and I want one that, you know, is lovey. And so my sister said, I have two right now that are perfect for you. And so his name is Chunks because he was the first one of the litter to make it to 2 pounds. But I want to call him Nacho. All of our animals have food names. And so Nacho, because he's orange, just sounds perfect. But I'm having a little trouble convincing the other three people in my home.
They would prefer Chunks for the poor cat.
Yes, they would. Hilarious. They would. Because my, you know, aww, because it's food thing, they're like, well, it's like Chunky have a complex soup. I know.
Oh, my. Well, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, we've just been calling him Chunks now for so long that it, you know, well, I shouldn't say for so long. We've had him for a whole 2 weeks, but, you know.
That's long though. That's a long time having a little baby in there.
Yeah, well, we'll see how much longer it takes for the other two to get used to him. The older one, fat kitty, Kiwi, doesn't seem to care a whole lot as long as he doesn't go a whole like near her. But mm-hmm. We've not been able to let him out. He lives in his own little place in the world right now in my youngest's room because we didn't know that it was going to ruin our second baby's life, but it has because she is very, very upset. Her name is Ray after Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. And Ray is very not happy that we brought home a baby. And
I know, because Ray was the baby.
Yeah, well, because Ray is so playful and still only a year old, we thought it would be an easier transition, but it hasn't been. She's not happy. So whatever, we'll just play the game like we usually do and, you know, introduce them little by little.
And then anyway, they tolerate each other after a while, you know, just like, hopefully.
Yes. But what have you been up to? I know you went somewhere, right?
Well, Nick's been working out of town. So okay. I went up to visit. So I took a couple days and took off on a little journey about like, it's almost a 5-hour drive.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that far.
Yes, north. But you know what? I haven't been on a drive like that, like a nice long drive that's not like on the 401, right? So
yeah,
you know, which is just can be a headache. And it's been a while since I've driven on there too, but I went up to Wyarton, Ontario.
Okay.
And I'm just going to give you kind of an idea. So if people know, like, well, like we had our cottage in Grand Bend, right? So on my journey up, I was going up alongside Lake Huron.
Okay.
So I ended up basically, you know, well, obviously, you know where Frankenmuth is because I know you've been there. Yeah, of course. So Frankenmuth. So if you go up a little bit up more north and then like think of in Ontario, though.
Yeah.
So I'm almost across from you and then just like up north, probably a couple more hours.
Okay.
So if you're thinking on a map, that's where I kind of.
Yeah. A little if I went over to Ontario from Frankenmuth.
And then like went up more. Yeah. Went up more. Okay. Anyways, it's actually Wyarton Willie. So the groundhog, there's a whole history.
Never heard of him.
The groundhog.
Well, see.
I guess it's an Ontario thing.
No, it's not. But we have our own groundhog.
Yeah. What's your groundhog?
Oh, God. You're put me on the spot.
It's okay. Why don't you think about that?
It's Punxsutawney Phil.
Oh, wow.
He's from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
And okay, because I know I've seen your, like, Phil. I've seen on the news when they do that, yes. too, and I've seen mine. So, like, I know and about...
Groundhog Day.
Yes, the movie. Yeah, I haven't watched that in a while. Anyways, so down the line, I figure I'm going to do a little Wyarton segment because I like, there was a lot of cool history there and it's just a little town. But anyway.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
The whole point of it was to just get away, right? So I drove up, had an awesome drive up, made a couple stops on my way up, like by our old childhood cottage, which is for sale, by the way.
Oh, is it?
And I was a little bummed. I have to actually look on my computer and not just on my phone because sometimes you don't see everything on your phone, right? Because they only showed so many pictures. They didn't even show pictures of like the hallways or like the bedrooms and the bathrooms. So I'm like, I gotta look that up again. But it's kind of neat to see because the main area where we hung out all the time.
Yep.
How it was like modernized, right?
Gotcha.
They upgraded it and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we're talking a long time ago.
And it wasn't that long ago. What are you talking about?
Walking through the grounds, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like some of these cottages look exactly the same. And it was just like kind of a cool walk. I could see my sister and I on this trail, but it seems so much bigger. For sure. You know, when you're litter, your litter, talking about littler. Cats and litter, when you're like smaller, and it's funny to go to these places that were so big, right? Yeah. I remember it took forever to get to the stairs to get down to the beach. Meanwhile,
it's a jump, it was
and
a like
hopping away, really.
Yeah.
It's not that far.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of neat. And then kept driving up. And then, the fall colors are just beautiful.
Mm.
Had a nice campfire over the weekend. It was just one of those, like, just.
It was a nice chill.
I haven't been out in the woods in a while. It reminded me of why I used to camp.
Yeah, for sure.
Or take a lot of my solo trips.
Yeah.
And I remember being on a solo trip once. Yeah, and it was like off season. And I remember this kid and his like family were in trailers. I used to be like the only tenter, like sometimes because I'd go in like April, right? When it was sometimes still snowing.
When it was still cold. Like, yeah, because you're crazy.
That's a while ago too. But I just remember this kid saying, "You're all by yourself." And I was like, "One day you'll understand."
Yeah, right.
You know, because I'm here for a reason by myself.
Yeah, right.
And then you kind of, it reminds you of that and just being out there. Anyways.
Yeah. So. See, and then there's me who is the true crime lover who, one of our favorite sayings in true crime is, fresh air is for dead people.
Oh, nice. Stay out of the woods.
Stay out of the woods. That's right.
My favorite.
Stay out of the woods.
He says, "Yep."
Don't sleep with your windows open.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's funny.
lock your windows. Lock your doors.
Go. I know when you say that, and it's funny because it's sad to say this, but and I guess maybe because I'm a little bit more knowledgeable in my life now, but and the world's changed a lot. I wouldn't do what I used to do.
Yeah.
So many years ago anymore in this day and age, because people, unfortunately, there's that whole etiquette and that whole just part of life seems to be lost. So I'm not saying it's all bad, but there's a lot of good out there, but it's just a different world out there. You can't just be alone in the world. Like, you can't be alone at night in the world. Yeah. You can't really. So it's one of those things I'm glad I've experienced. I'm glad I did what I did and the way I did it.
Yep.
But yeah, so it was just really nice. And it just, when I got home, I even looked around me and where I'm at and just anywhere just really makes you just grateful for where we're at.
Yep.
And that Absolutely. We have trees and we have grass and we have the things that we have. And it's like, take a minute, people. Take a deep breath.
I love when you send me the pictures from your deck, for God's sake, and just out at the lake.
It's just woods and the trees. Like, I have two trees down by my area here. And it's funny because I'll like text Nick sometimes. I'll be like, "Oh, I'm just down by the trees that talk to me, or the singing trees or whatever," because there's these big, big trees. And if you sit on this bench, that's all you hear when the wind's blowing. And I love when the trees talk to you. Like,
that's awesome.
I can't explain it. It's deep down in my soul. You know, I feel it all over when I'm out there and I love it. So
I was going to say it sounds extremely peaceful. That's all.
Find your peace any way you can out there. Man.
That's right.
Take time to find your peace too, right? Like, take a few freaking moments.
Exactly.
So I'm going to rant on forever. So
I know.
Get going. And Steph's going to go first.
All right. So I found a list of common myths, and some of these I knew were myths and some of them I didn't. Ooh. So some of them are a little embarrassing because I thought they were actually real. Oh, gosh.
It's okay. Let me see if I can top your embarrassment.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm not going to tell you which ones I thought were.
No,
because...
no, don't do that.
So embarrassing. Because there's a couple that I was like, oh man, oh, I thought that my whole life.
I know, I'm going to get all giggly and giddy and get all like sweaty and worked up. And
because I feel like, well, they're not that serious.
Oh, but... I know, but you know me.
All right.
I'm like having a quiz. Oh my gosh. Sorry, turning red.
Well, the other thing is that it's like I liked it because it's just all over the board. It's all about random stuff. So it's not like, you know, you're not pigeonholed into one certain thing. It's myths about everything.
Anything and everything. All right, cool.
Yeah. All right. So number one is that bulls don't like the color red. As you know, like when they're the matador is, you know, doing the thing, it's not about the color.
Right.
It's they're actually red and green colorblind. So they're triggered by the movement of the cape. It has nothing to do with the color.
The color. I think the color is just that brightness of people can see it. And
yeah, people.
I think I've heard that before because I thought you were going to ask me and I was going to say, I have a feeling that that's a myth. Because I think I've heard that one before.
Good idea.
But that's what I thought you were going to do when you were just saying, I'm not going to tell you what ones I thought. I thought you were going to quiz me. That's why I said I was getting all hot and bothered and like, oh, turning red. Because I felt like I was quiz time.
All right.
No, you don't have to now, though.
This one, I think you'll know. See, now I'm going to put you on the hot seat because.
Look what I just did. She didn't even get it the first time around. And now I'm brought all right. to it. Okay.
True or false? We only use 10% of our brains. Yeah. So we use virtually every part of our brain. So here's one, and you may not know it as a Canadian that probably, I don't remember learning about too much about American presidents growing up in our history classes and stuff like that over there. So you may not have even heard this one. George Washington had wooden teeth. Not true.
Well, no.
So that's how it was said. So lots of kids have learned that, but it's not. Yeah. His dentures were actually made of ivory, gold, lead, and other human teeth. Isn't that gross?
Oh, that's worse than wood. I'd rather have wooden teeth.
Yeah. They just looked like like wood because they were so stained. It's like, you know, what is it? Polydent didn't exist back then. So
the story just keeps getting worse and worse the more you start.
I know. Yeah, it's bad enough when it says ivory, gold, lead, and then you go to other people's teeth. That's great. Mm-hmm. All right. So, I think I've told you about this one when we were talking about Halloween and stuff that I learned. And it's true or false. Most witches were burned at the stake during the Salem witch trials.
That is false.
Yes.
There was only one witch that you read about that was actually burned at the stake. I do remember you saying that.
I can't remember. I mean, it's a couple. I don't think it was necessarily one, but yes. More people were hanged than were burned at the stake. The myth may have come from the fact that it was common practice in medieval Europe. So it kind of just got all conglomerated together. Well,
and what sounds better? I guess, to the people, like burning someone alive or more, just hanging them, you know, it's theatrical and
very much so.
And used in so many like movies after and just the poor witches anyways. I didn't read much about them, but I'm sure not all of them were.
Oh, hell no.
You know?
No, sometimes you were seen as a witch if you were, you know, PMSing exactly. or something like crazy. Yes. Just like you were put in one of those asylums I talked about a few episodes ago. Okay. You swallow. Yes, I just said swallow.
Yes, swallow, do ya?
I'm not answering that. You swallow 8 spiders a lifetime during your sleep.
It's false.
Yes. You don't actually swallow them in your sleep. They would be afraid of the vibrations from a sleeping person, so they would never climb in your mouth.
Although, I don't like when you're in the middle of sleeping, you realize your mouth's been open. And you're coughing. I know it's because your throat's dry, obviously, because your mouth's open. But just for a second, it's like, why do I have a tickle? You know? Especially when you're camping, if you're sleeping in the tent, you know, like, you know they're in there.
No, no.
Right?
When you are camping.
When I was sleeping in a tent.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So this is one that I had heard a lot, too. And I didn't know if it was true or not. The only man-made object seen from space is the Great Wall of China.
Well, no, because there's got to be things bigger than the Great Wall of China.
So actually, in low space, lots of things can be seen, like highways and airports and bridges can be seen too. It's not just the but then when you're higher, not even the wall can be seen. This one was that Napoleon Bonaparte. Oh my gosh, I can't even talk. Napoleon Bonaparte.
I'm surprised you didn't say Bonaparte.
No. Hey, the pen is.
Where are you gonna bring that today?
Up? Are you gonna bring that up? Yeah. Yes, people. In health class in what, sixth grade? I was asked to read a passage on the penis and I read the pen is instead of the penis.
I could be making this up, but I just remember it. You're reading, you're
of
like,
of course you do.
Pen is. And then it was realization.
Yes. And then I was extremely embarrassed. And then we moved on and we still talk about it 30 years later.
Because I won't let it go.
That's
and
okay.
It makes us laugh every time.
There's plenty of embarrassing things you've done. Don't worry. I'll bring them up sooner or later.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. So let's just call him Napoleon, okay? Because I'm going to say it again. Is it true or false that he was extremely short?
Was he? Yeah, I think he was short.
So he actually stood like 5 feet 5 to 5 foot 7 tall. So it's like normal. But like, while that may be short by today's standards, back then it wasn't that uncommon. Mm-hmm. So they actually believe that it's because in the 1800s, the cartoons and the caricatures of him were drawn for him to be this little short, right, to emasculate him. And yes. So like, especially apparently this one British cartoonist named James Gilray would draw him, you know, super small with a big head and know, that kind of stuff. And so it was just thought, it just kind of got absorbed over time that that was why, because he was actually short, but he really wasn't. Oh, your hair and fingernails continue to grow after you die.
No, they can't, because there's nothing living and it's living. Like, yep. I'm like, I don't think, like, wait a minute, they can't. You know, when you said that, I'm just thinking of skeletons with the hair still on and the fingernails. Like,
yes. See? But and that's dead. Why. But that's why. So it might look like they're growing still. But, because the skin gets dehydrated and the tissues and stuff regress. So it makes it appear as though they've continued to grow for a little while. But they haven't.
No, because you have no nutrients. You have, it's a living, everything in you is living. Everything on you is like, needs something, right? To keep stay alive. So
you got it. If you touch a baby bird, their mother won't come back.
I think that's false.
Yeah. So they're not that quickly abandoned. Birds will, the sense of smell is still a debate. Like, it's not fully known. This is one this is one I'll admit that I did think. So drinking alcohol raises your body temperature.
Well, it feels
actually. Exactly. So you might feel warmer, but alcohol actually lowers your core temperature.
Huh.
I know. It was super weird.
Yeah.
This is one I was told my whole life, and I catch myself still telling my daughter this, and I'm like, I don't say it. I just say, don't do it. Cracking your knuckles causes arthritis.
Oh, yes.
I don't tell her she's going to get arthritis from doing it. I just tell, like, don't do it. And she's like, why? Why does it matter? Like, well, because I was taught not to.
Yes, just don't.
But the cracking noise just comes from collapsing air bubbles in the joint. It doesn't cause any injury from it. So there's nothing wrong with doing it. Okay, so Georgia, the peach state, produces the most peaches.
I would like to say yes, but I have a feeling it's no.
Well, of course, because, you know, these are misconceptions. Yes. So it is not. Believe it or not, Georgia's not even in the top three.
Oh.
At least in 2017, it wasn't. California produced the most. New Jersey actually produced the second most peaches. And Pennsylvania was the third. I know, right?
Look at that.
I know. Georgia peach. And this one, I want to look and to see like where it came from. But blind as a bat. Let's saying blind as a bat. Are bats blind?
Well, no, but they are earring sonar, whatever.
They use that echolocation-y sonar thing,
Yes.
but so they can use, they can actually see 3 times better than humans.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
I didn't know how good their sight was, but yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Chameleons change colors that to blend in with their surroundings. That is actually false too.
I don't think they.
Chameleons, what's that?
I was gonna say, I don't think they. I think it's just their. No, go on. I don't think anything. Give it a minute so I can take that part out.
I'm leaving that shit in. Are you? Damn it.
The
Well, then you better figure out a way to edit this. Yeah. No. Chameleons.
It'll be a surprise when you hear it.
Right?
Okay.
Chameleons change colors to regulate their temperature or communicate with other chameleons, not to camouflage
Okay, I
themselves.
knew I've seen something that's why I was like, I think, but then I'm like, no, I don't really know what I think, but I know I've heard something about them, but I'm not really sure what it is, so I'm gonna be quiet.
Oh, this is one again. Growing up in Canada, we didn't really learn about, when the Declaration of Independence was signed or anything. So we celebrate July 4th, 1776, as the day the Declaration of Independence was signed. However, that's when Congress approved the declaration. It wasn't actually signed until August 2nd. Yeah, I thought
That's
that was very
interesting.
interesting. I did not know that little tidbit. Bananas grow on trees. They actually
Banana
don't.
trees.
Yeah. So the plant that they grow on is actually a giant herb that is related to orchids and lilies. Isn't that?
Way.
Yeah.
We call them
It's
banana
crazy.
trees.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Wow.
Crazy.
Like a
Oh, this one
video
I
game?
did know.
That's interesting.
Fortune cookies come from China. I mean, I think we all knew that. But so the creator of the fortune cookie was actually a Japanese immigrant. And I'm not going to say the first name, but Okamura, who ran a confectionery store in Northern California. Not even Chinese. I don't know where it comes with all of the Chinese stuff all the time, but I don't know. President Nixon was impeached. Actually, isn't true. He resigned before he could be fully impeached.
Okay.
Yeah. Brown eggs are more healthy than white eggs.
No, it doesn't
Not
matter.
true. So color is determined by the kind of chicken that lays the eggs. It doesn't have anything to do with the nutrition of the egg.
Exactly. And I'll tell you right now, I love the light blue eggs. And I believe they come
Oh.
from my sister has chickens, so they have the white
Yeah.
chickens and the brown chickens.
Okay.
So I'd have to double check with her where the blue ones come, but one of them leave a light, really nice, pretty blue egg.
Ooh. Okay, so I need you to find out for me.
I will.
The chickens with white earlobes typically lay white eggs.
Oh.
So you'll have to look at their earlobes. I don't even know how you find a chicken
Oh, I can get
earlobe.
close enough to them. You can get right up and close
You
and
can,
personal with
okay.
these chickens. Oh, yeah, they let you pet them and stuff.
Well, then I'd be curious to see because if that is true, or if it at least is in
Next
your
time I
sister's
can get out
backyard,
there, I will
I
check
know,
these chickens
right?
out.
The white
Let me
earlobes,
just check your
they usually lay
earlobes.
white eggs. Yeah, interesting, right? Aha, every living thing dies. No. Believe it or
This
not.
is a trick question.
No, it's not. There is a
Okay.
type of jellyfish that doesn't actually die.
No way.
Yeah, it's I'm gonna butcher it,
What?
but it's Turritopsis dorni or dorni. It reverts back to a juvenile state after its adulthood, so it never dies.
It just keeps going and going and
It just
going.
keeps going.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that crazy? So now you know
That
there
is
is
pretty
one.
interesting.
I know. That's why I said some of them
My
I was
brain's
like,
still
okay,
like,
I've heard
really?
that.
What? That's why
Yeah.
I'm like, well, yeah.
That's crazy.
Huh.
Well, here we go. As we were talking about our Halloween episode, strangers have poisoned Halloween candy to maliciously harm children.
Historically, probably not. Nowadays,
Historically, one father did it.
Oh, there we
He
go.
poisoned his kids and his neighbor's kids' pixie sticks, and only one of his kids died before they figured it out.
Oh my God, only.
Yeah,
Jeez.
only.
Figure there had to be one at least
Yeah, so,
out there.
most of the time it's by people that you know, of course. Ooh, this one I always thought too. Seeds are the hottest part of a pepper.
It's the ribs usually, is it
It
not?
is,
Yes.
yeah. It's the capsaicin
Yes.
that causes the spiciness of the pepper. It's mostly found in the ribs or what's called the pith tissue that
Yes.
the seeds are attached to.
I know this because I like a jalapeno. I can't go
Oh.
hotter than a jalapeno. And depending on how the jalapeno is prepped, I'll leave the ribs and the seeds in. It all depends, but I like throwing them on the barbecue or roasting them till they get really, really dark. Peel the skin off, and then I'll chop them up and just add them into anything.
Nice. Nice, nice. Okay, so, and the last one is that, believe it or not, turkey does not actually cause you to be tired on Thanksgiving.
It's
It
something from the
has,
turkey, but I can't remember the name.
so it's tryptophan
Okay,
that,
okay.
but it has normal levels. It's actually the overeating and the blood sugar rising and falling that causes you to be tired. Because believe it or not, cheddar cheese has more tryptophan than turkey.
Oh, yeah, it's just because we're
So,
gluttonous on
I,
Thanksgiving.
yes,
That's
exactly.
why it's good to go for a little stroll after you eat sometimes.
Oh, no. It's
Not right
called,
after.
well,
Light stroll.
yeah, but Canadian Thanksgiving is so much different than American Thanksgiving. We just kick back and watch more football, which we never did in Canada, though. So, I have worked every Thanksgiving for the last umpteen million years. So I, don't really get to watch football anyway. And I eat my turkey as leftovers. So, it's all
Oh,
good.
but it's good the next day.
Well, I eat it that night.
Yeah.
Because typically I'm sleeping. They'll get home from his mom's house where she, they normally
Oh,
have been
yeah,
doing
then you get up.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And then I get up and I just take my food with me. If there has
Yeah.
been any left, there have been years where I haven't had any. But
Oh, no.
I will say, though, working night shift, we throw a mad potluck,
Oh,
let me
yeah.
just say.
Yeah.
So, usually we have some pretty damn good food there, too.
Yeah, so you almost don't want to eat at home before you go because you know
Well,
what
but
they're eating.
see, that's the beauty of working nights, though, is our Thanksgiving shift is actually the night before. So I eat a Thanksgiving dinner before people have normally even gotten up for their Thanksgiving
Oh,
day.
yes.
So I've eaten my turkey dinner before the parade comes on in the
Oh,
morning.
there you go. Yes.
And then I get to eat my family's dinner that night.
Later. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
So that's all I had for today.
I like that though. Some of those just remind me of like shit you tell your kids just to get them to not do stuff. Like, like the watermelons are going to grow out of your ears or whatever if you eat
Yeah, don't
watermelon
eat the
seeds
seeds.
because you don't, but it's good. They don't want you to choke on the seeds, right? Like it's kind of good, fun way of doing it, but it just reminds you of all the lies you were told as a child. That's all
Yes.
it brought up for me. No, it's okay.
Yes.
Did you know? In 1925, Sears held a national contest to decide the name of a new brand of car tires. After over 2 million name submissions, Allstate was chosen.
Okay. Where are you going with
So
this?
I'm going through a few little slogans and phrases and
Oh.
such that we are familiar with, and some that I kind of course, dove into a little bit of history of where they came from because there's some that I
No.
really like. For so I wanted to go, no way, me no.
You dive in.
So not all of them, but some of them I did kind of go into because I found it kind of interesting.
Cool.
So and Sears, Sears, come on now, like it's no longer,
Right.
but the building's still there in our local city here, and it was used as a COVID vaccination center,
Oh,
actually.
was it?
Yeah, because it's such a nice big building there, and it's just kind of been used as different things. But I think, I'm sure cost of rent. Anyways, I'm rambling, and we haven't even gotten started. Let's get back to Allstate. So the trademark was adopted the next year. The tire success in the catalog, Sears catalog, in retail stores prompted the Sears chairman, General Robert E. Wood, to praise the Allstate tires' contribution to Sears retail store success. So the tire made them, pretty
Okay.
much, is what they're saying.
Okay.
The idea for Allstate Insurance Company came during a bridge game on a commuter train in the 1930s, when insurance broker Carl L. O'Dell proposed to Wood, who was his neighbor, the idea of selling auto insurance by direct mail. This appealed to Wood, and he passed the proposal to the Sears Board of Directors, which approved it. Allstate Insurance Company, named after Sears' tire brand, went into business on April 17, 1931,
Great
offering
idea.
auto insurance by direct mail and through the Sears catalog.
Huh, I had no idea.
No, I know. I didn't realize it was that long ago, and I just like the
Well, I
Sears
didn't
catalog.
realize even like Allstate was related to Sears brand, you know?
Yes, exactly. In 1934, Allstate opened its first permanent sales office in Chicago. So it was in the Chicago Sears store.
Okay.
And then by the mid-1950s, every state had some sort of financial responsibility law in its books. So as cars became more popular and we started driving more, obviously they had to start coming up with some insurance. But I'm finding through all of our researchy stuff we've been doing, a lot of stuff happens in Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago is the place to be.
It is.
So the companies, well, yes, you've been there a few times. The companies, you're in good hands with Allstate slogan was created in 1950 by Allstate's general sales manager, Davis W. Ellis. At the end of the decade, it was used in the company's first network television advertising campaign, which featured actor Ed Reimers. So he was a TV spokesman for Allstate for 22 years from 1957 until 1979.
Okay.
I did look him up and he's from Star Trek.
Oh.
So if you look him up, he had the white hair in Star Trek and I'm sorry, I don't know my Star Trek, but he had like the mustard colored shirt, I believe. So he's part of that. I don't know if their shirts meant different things. Some had blue, some had, you know.
Yeah.
I remember Spock had blue.
I don't even remember.
Oh, vaguely.
It's been a long time since I watched those ones.
Allstate added products throughout the 1950s to include fire insurance, homeowner and life insurance. And they began selling insurance to Canadians in 1953. The Allstate Insurance Company of Canada was incorporated in 1964. In 2003, it was actor Dennis Haysbert. This is the one I remember, became Allstate spokesman using the tagline, "Oh, that's Allstate. Stand, are you in good hands?" And he had that deep voice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? He has a deep voice. And I said that so bad.
You said that like lusted after the man.
That's Allstate, Stan. And then we had, of course, 2010 brought Dean Winters, who was the mayhem. But I really liked a lot of their TV commercials when you look back at them, because it's like bringing things back to basics. So a lot of it is about, there was one, I can't remember what year it was, but there was a whole bunch of guys and they were just hanging around like in the garage, like your Pepe's garage type deal, like small garage, like, you know, auto, whatever garage type thing.
Yep.
And then with the small TV, when we actually had like regular size, I guess, TVs, but it was just them all huddled around this small TV with some beers. You know, enjoying a game, right? You know, and I was like, I like the commercials.
Back
and
in the good old days.
Kind of brought me back to why I like Allstate's commercials. You know, a lot of them are about that kind of togetherness and like family. And that's really what it's kind of about, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's always what they've, you know, wanted to purport. Like they're, you know, they're a part of you. They're a part of your family.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
They're an extension to keep all of your things safe.
All right. Now, one of my other favorite cereals I haven't had in a while, but I use it to make things, and it sings to you, this cereal. It talks to you.
I know.
What does it say?
Snap, crackle, pop.
Woohoo! Rice Krispies. Do you know what they're known in Australia and New Zealand as?
No.
Rice Bubbles.
Oh, that's funny. Oh. No, I'd never heard that before.
So the cereals brand's famous tagline traces its roots back to a 1932 radio commercial that focused on the sound of their product. I don't know how the song goes. I'm going to say the words. I am not going to sing them.
Okay, maybe I'll remember.
Listen to the fairy song of health, the merry chorus sung by Kellogg's Rice Krispies as they merrily snap, crackle, and pop in a bowl of milk. If you've never heard food talking, now is your chance.
Oh, definitely don't know that one.
Well, it's 1932 radio commercial. So when you said, maybe I'll remember, I was like, some of us believe we were in past lives. Like, you may have been around there, girl, but I'm not sure. Not sure. Who knows?
Just trying to confuse the listeners so they have no clue how old we are.
Maybe you knew Vernon Grant.
They
illustrated the elf characters by the early 1930s as well.
Okay. <know? clears throat> So I was thinking maybe they kept the song for a long time. Shut up.
So Snap is usually portrayed wearing the chef's toque. Crackle is often shown
She said toque, everybody.
Toque.
That means hat.
Crockle is often shown wearing a red or striped tomato toque or a sleeping cap.
Okay.
And Pop often wears a drum major's shako. I think it's a shako, S-H-A-K-O, shako, shako, shako?
I don't know. Drum major, I've never heard shako? That. I don't know that I've ever heard that word. So yes, probably. All right, drum majors.
You have, that's the name of your hat. Please you have let your us
job.
Know.
What is that?
There yeah. is your job.
Actually, you know, I probably could ask my brother-in-law because he was part of
Well, we could ask the Google too, but that's too easy. So this is like way more fun.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd rather ask my brother-in-law who's in the Mediterranean, try and get a hold of him on his cruise boat. There we go. Even Google will think I'm dumb.
Oh my gosh. From their original design as elderly gnomes with large noses, ears, and hats, Snap, Crockle, and Pop were reimagined with younger and more proportional features in 1949. So on our Facebook, I am going to put up some pictures of the older illustrations,
okay,
kind of compared to now. Sometime after 1955, their gnome-like oversized ears became more proportional yet pointed, as seen in common portrayals of elves. They first appeared as animated characters in 1959, and they were briefly reimagined as superheroes in the early 1990s.
Really?
Which I do kind of remember those commercials because they had capes on, I believe.
Really? I don't remember that at all.
And it was just for a little bit, yeah. And then they were returned to their original elf-like form. They just didn't make it in the superhero world, apparently.
Well, I mean, their names are Snap, Crackle, and Pop. I mean...
So as of 2017, the three gnomes are now voiced by Josh Brenner, who is Snap. And okay. Josh Brenner, he has played, I don't know a lot of these people, and I'm not sure, Silicon Valley.
Okay.
He plays Big Head, Big Eddie.
Okay.
And also in animated, Rise of the Teenage Mutant Turtles, he was the voice of Donatello.
Okay.
So looking at the picture, familiar looking, but... You know, not familiar enough for me to know offhand. Then there was Ben Schwartz, who is Crockle. So Ben Schwartz is a comedian. And I know Ben Schwartz only because I just recently started watching Parks and Recreation.
Okay.
It is so funny. And he has a character on that show. And then we have Tom Kenny, who plays Pop. And okay. Tom Kenny, he is, let me just see here. Oh, he is the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, I thought I knew the name.
The name, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
The narrator and mayor in the Powerpuff Girls. I used to watch the Powerpuff Girls. Oh, I didn't realize he was a dog and cat dog. Cat dog, alone in the world is a little cat dog.
I have never watched Cat Dog. Sorry. You've
never watched Cat Dog.
No. I know it exists, but I have never watched it.
So some flavors that have been discontinued, Frosted Rice Krispies, which were called Ricicles in the UK and Ireland.
Ricicles. It doesn't sound very appetizing.
And then there are Rice Krispies with dehydrated miniature marshmallows.
Oh, yeah.
So they were marshmallow Rice Krispies.
Yeah. So it makes them more like Lucky Charms, but not oat. They're more the rice based.
Yeah. And they were just like a little, it was like, you can buy them in the States. You can't buy them here. The mini marshmallows. So they're marshmallow crispies. And then there was like the tropical one. So they had the fruity marshmallows.
Like a fruity
and the colored. Almost. Yeah. Like, you know, the colored ones.
Yep.
Marshmallows, the colored marshmallows. Gotcha. They were sold briefly in the United States and Canada. They survived longer in Canada, and they were discontinued during the 1990s. In the 1980s, there was strawberry-flavored Rice Krispies.
Really?
We also had banana-flavored Rice Krispies.
Ew.
Which were called Banana Bubbles or Banana Krispies, funny. And they've been sold in the past. There was also Razzle Dazzle Rice Krispies.
they made with glitter?
Probably, because they were an extremely sweet artificially colored treat.
Gross.
That was sold from 1997 to 1999.
Okay. Yeah, I totally don't.
No, I don't remember a lot of those ones. And then these are all a few other flavors. Just, you know, for people out there who are feeling like, hey, I used to eat other ones. You haven't said it yet. apple cinnamon Rice Krispies.
Oh, definitely.
Berry flavors, of course. Berry Krispies, yep. Or there are berry Rice Krispies. Yep. A few different names. Rice Krispies with honey.
Ew.
And then honey that Rice sounds, Krispies.
That sounds nasty.
Honey Rice Krispies were sold in the UK and Canada for a short period of time. Oh. And then there was a Halloween version of Rice Krispies. So they had orange Krispies in them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then the trio of cartoon elves has remained the longest running Kellogg's marketing campaign.
Cool.
So that's a little blurb on the Rice Krispie. I used to like them when I was younger. Of course, I probably added a bunch of sugar to it, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Just there was no spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
and everything else.
80s, 90s. Anyways, opposite to sugar in your cereal. I don't remember these being in Canada. I don't think they're ever sold in Canada. But what was the breakfast of champions?
Wheaties.
Wheaties I had to pick because there's just a really cool history to it.
Yeah.
And their boxes and how people were chosen and such like that. Yep. So
cool.
Wheaties was created in 1921 as a result of an accidental spill of a wheat bran mixture onto a hot stove.
Okay.
By a Minnesota clinician working for the Washburn Crosby Company, which is later been General Mills, is now General Mills.
Okay.
The cereal brand has closely associated itself with sports brands since 1927, when they began advertising with minor league baseball teams.
Okay.
Shortly after, a Minneapolis advertising agency sketched a Wheaties box on a pad of paper for an upcoming campaign, thought for a moment, and wrote Wheaties, the breakfast of champions, which has been its staple slogan for the cereal line ever since.
For sure.
The brand's popularity grew with baseball broadcasting throughout the 1930s. I so remember my godfather, listening to baseball on the radio.
Absolutely.
In the cottage in Grand Bend all the time. So many people listen to baseball.
Yep.
And by the early 1940s, celebrities seeking the Wheaties spotlight included football stars, circus performers, jockeys, aviators, automobile racers, explorers, and parachutists.
Yep.
Do you know who was first featured on the Wheaties box in 1934? It's part of a sport that has home runs.
Yeah, I know. It's a baseball, and I'm not going to get right.
It's New York Yankees. First baseman, Lou Gehrig.
Lou Gehrig. Yeah. When you say it, I'm like, yeah, okay. But
I had to look it up because I was wondering who was the first one on it, right? And I'm like, I knew it was baseball, but I couldn't remember the name.
Common trivia question. And that's just something that just doesn't stick.
It just doesn't stick in your head no matter what.
That one and the first woman.
Wheaties has placed the image of more than 850 athletes on the iconic orange box, 77 of whom were Olympic medalists.
Oh, for sure.
Athletes are selected for the honor based not only on their athletic achievements, but by going the extra mile and contributing to culture and society. Wheaties looks for athletes who are champions on and off the field because great athletes have cultural significance that is bigger than the game.
Cool. I like that statement.
And that's from the General Mills spokesperson, Kelsey Roemhildt, Roemhildt, who had said that quote, which I like too.
Yeah.
So getting your face on the Wheaties box is an honor reserved for champion athletes. Unless you're Michael Phelps, most Olympic athletes do not win additional medals after they were featured on the Wheaties box.
Okay.
Every athlete on the Wheaties box had established records or won multiple Olympic medals prior to being featured.
Gotcha.
There has also been 73 Olympians or Olympic teams on the Wheaties box in over its 100-year history. 1984, Mary Lou Retton won 5 medals in gymnastics in the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles.
Yes.
She was the first woman to be featured on the front of the Wheaties box.
Okay.
However, there was a woman who was featured on the back of a Wheaties box in 1935.
Really?
Yeah. So on the back of the Wheaties box, it was Didrikson Zaharias?
Oh, Babe Didrikson. Yep.
Babe Didrikson. Okay. I apologize. Didrikson Zaharias. So, they had won five, sorry, won gold medals in hurdles and the javelin throw in the 1932 Olympics, but
Okay.
they were on the back of the box at that time.
Gotcha.
And then we made it to the front of the box in 84. And then, of course, we
Geez, it
had
only took another freaking 60
how many
years.
years exactly? And then, of course, we had Michael Jordan,
Definitely.
who was on there. Christy Yamaguchi. We're getting
Yep.
into all the ice
Oh,
skating. I
yeah.
remember all. Amy Van Dyken, who
Okay.
was won four gold medals in swimming in the Summer Olympics, 1996. And then we had the U.S. Women's Olympic Gymnastics team.
Yep, for sure.
They were the first American team to win gold in gymnastics and made the box in 1996.
Nice.
And then there were some swimmers, Mia Hamm, that's soccer
Soccer,
players.
yep.
Of course, you have Muhammad Ali.
Perfect.
There's quite a few. So again, if you go online, you can kind of go through all the years and look at all the different athletes, and then you can kind of look at what they did as
How
well.
do you know, like, how often did they change the cut, like the front of the box? Do you
Well, I'm
know?
going through the years here, and I think it all depends. Like,
Okay.
they think
Like if anyone is great.
so Wheaties will celebrate its 100th anniversary by making boxing legend Muhammad Ali the latest cover athlete.
Oh,
So they're
cool.
doing 100th anniversary, like limited series box,
Okay.
because Wheaties aren't like sold anymore.
Yeah, no.
They're no longer anymore.
Right.
They basically, Wheaties became too healthy for junk food lovers, as they say, and not healthy enough for the health food crowd.
Yep, for sure.
So
Yeah, because it's all carbs.
they just haven't like stood out. And from some of the articles I read, like General Mills basically cannibalized itself because its own
Okay.
products, like Cheerios
Yep.
and
Beat each
Special
other
K.
out. Like that's like my Rice Krispies. Yeah, Special K.
Yeah, Special K is it's good. I've had it in the past. I haven't had cereal in a long time.
I love cereal.
I should get back into it.
No, you shouldn't,
So,
'cause
no, I know it's
it's all
bad.
carbs.
There
It's
are
all
so
bad for
many
you.
well, and the thing is you try to look at the boxes and try to rationalize some of them, but I just laugh. Like we'll go down the aisle and just look at like the Timbit cereal. And they have Timbit cereal.
No way.
Oh yeah, look at you. No way. You gotta bring back
No
lots of those. Look at you. Oh my God, you could see her face. At first, I
Hey.
thought she was just like, really? But no, it turned into a like, oh,
Like a, I'm sorry, wait, you said what?
what? Wait, what?
You said
Box full of
what?
sugar? Hi. Gatorade, is it in you?
Not usually.
Early in the summer of 1965, University of Florida assistant football coach Dwayne Douglas met a group of scientists on campus to determine why many of Florida's players were so negatively affected by the heat. Maybe because it's hot and they're running around.
Exactly.
But on October 2nd, 1965, this team of scientists invented Gatorade. The name was derived from the nickname of the university sports team, Florida Gators. I didn't realize that actually.
Oh, okay.
That it came from the Florida Gators and all that stuff. This catchy tagline that was retired in 2013 was designed to capture the spirit of digging deep and finding the internal driving force in order to succeed. The core principle of the popular sports drink. The line worked well because it speaks to the mentality of Gatorade's target audience of sport and fitness enthusiast. We remember all those
Yep.
commercials. And a little side note on here, people, just about Gatorade. If you have not watched the movie Idiocracy from 2006, starring Luke Wilson, Maya Rudolph, and Dax Shepard, please do.
Okay.
And shake your
I'll have
head
to.
and wonder, wow, this was came out in 2006, and see how closely related it is to our world here in 2022.
Ah, gotcha.
What is finger looking good?
KFC.
KFC.
So, believe it or not, the memorable slogan was reportedly created by the restaurant manager at the then promising little fast food chain in the 1950s. As the story goes, KFC's founder, Harlan Sanders, would often appear in the company's early ads eating a plate of fried chicken in the background of a scene. After one of the ads aired, a woman called the TV station complaining, "Mr. Harmon is licking his fingers." After that, a franchisee in Arizona spontaneously replied, "Well, it's finger licking good." And the rest is history.
Nice.
Even then, people are complaining about nonsense. Anyways,
Yep.
now one that I found very annoying, but it was very popular. It was created in 2002 to accompany a massive television advertising campaign. The catchy phrase was used by an actor that repeats this line during a phone conversation over and over again while walking through different settings, illustrating that he's testing and trying to find a spot where there is bad service. And of course, oh, where there's good service, sorry. Where there isn't bad service. So where there is good service. And of course, they can't find any. And what is that phrase? Steph?
I'm not telling.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I don't want to be wrong.
That's okay. I won't put you on the spot anymore. You were good to me. So
Kind of.
it played into the service reception at that time. Now we freak the fuck out if the internet or any popular social media platform is down for a minute,
Yes.
like a second. It's like
Yep.
so crazy.
World on fire.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, true.
Trust me,
Now,
we lost electricity for almost 24 hours last week.
see, and
Was worse than COVID. Woo.
I had no problem. My only thing that I thought was great, I don't have a landline and my cell phone's not totally charged. I need to get one of those solar chargers that Steph had the last time I was with her.
Yes.
That was my only thought. Other than that, I was good. We actually poured some drinks and we sat and chitty chatted
Perfect.
and just like enjoyed whatever, right? I used to love
Perfect.
when, yeah, you got flashlights out. Headlamps work really good, people. You need both hands free when the power goes out.
And
Headlamps.
then you have kids and they melt when it's hot, and it
I
was
know.
not good. It was not good. Ugh.
And the part
If it
of
had
life that
been
I
any
forget. I'm
longer.
like the part of life that I forget. No, it was out for quite a bit. It was getting warm and stuff. Yeah, it was out for quite a bit.
It
All
was
right.
like 86 degrees in my house. It I
Yeah.
could it I was I'd worked the night that it went out and then had to sleep the next day.
Yeah.
I made the kids go to work with him because
Yes.
it was so miserable, but
See,
at
now you're
least they would
making me
have
feel
power
all
there.
bad that I'm joking around
Oh,
about the power being
gross.
out. My gosh. Okay. I'm talking about social media platforms.
Yeah, well, we
Yes,
were sad we
it's
didn't have that either.
oh my God. Have it your way. Burger
That's Burger King.
King. Yes. Segue right into that one. Have it your way,
Oh,
Steph. So
my
another delightfully creative dig at the competition. Burger King unveiled its catchy slogan in the early 1970s. It was based around the fast food chain willingness to customize order to your unique tastes and preferences, in contrast to the inflexibility of McDonald's. Dun, dun, dun. Can I tell you, the commercials with the King character freak me right out.
I know a lot of people that say
Oh,
that.
I don't like the one where he's on the bike, the back of the bike from way back when. He's on someone's riding their bike and the King's just like, on the back of the bike. Oh, I don't like it.
It reminds me of like it's all the same as like the Ronald McDonald creepy character and all of that stuff for me. Ugh.
Oh, the actual
The
Ronald
actual Ronald
McDonald.
McDonald, yeah.
They used to
Ugh.
have those characters in remember McDonald's, like we had the actual playroom, not the big gross ballroom, when it had like the big hamburger
The
head
tubes
and
and the, yep. Oh yeah.
Hamburglar,
Oh
and you had the
yeah.
hamburger and Grimace. Is it Grimace?
So you'll
Grimace,
have to
Grimace?
check back. Oh yes. You'll have to check my Facebook old albums because there is a picture from a, I won't say the year, birthday party of mine
Oh, yes. Yeah, McDonald's.
And
yes,
I can I remember see my you head in the back. Yep. I know the that bathroom. Picture. And so that fun. Was at McDonald's. We're wearing the hats.
Oh, yes. Yes. It was fun. Where is the beef?
Wendy's.
Wendy's. Everyone knows this. Where is the beef? I know she said it that a was lot hilarious. More fun than me. But in 1984, Claire Peller. She was the famous old lady who critically asked, where's the beef?
Where's
the
beef?
Original ad. Nice. She probably doesn't sound anything like that. Where's I looked the at beef? The ad not that long ago, and I haven't watched it again. So it was created by New York agency Kaplan Thaler Group. The slogan had gone on to become a popular idiom that's used when anything, not just hamburgers, is lacking substance. It's such a hit that Wendy's made mugs, t-shirts, and beach towels featuring the signature phrase.
Beach towels? That's interesting.
Wrap that around your waist if you're a guy.
Right?
Also led to a record 76.2 million in sales the following year.
Wow. I do like myself some Wendy's.
Wendy's isn't bad once in a while. They're pretty good. It's been a while. I just can't eat a lot of that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Make a damn good burger at home, you know?
Yep. Speaking of which, we had good burgers last night.
Oh, that's good. I like a homemade hamburger. And I don't eat mm-hmm. hamburger or meat a lot, but I do like a good homemade hamburger.
Yeah.
They're yummy. FedEx, when it positively, absolutely. Sorry, backwards. When it absolutely positively has to be there overnight. So they have branded around this singular idea by coming through when something absolutely positively has to be there overnight.
Okay. I don't remember that one.
The line was first deployed in 1979 and was dramatized by John Machita Jr. speaking 450 words a minute in the 1982 television spot. You have to look that up. The commercial for it, it's so funny.
For what? For
FedEx.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the only one I can remember where they talk super duper fast was
that's what I just said. They're speaking 450 words a minute in the 1982.
That's what I said. The only one that I can remember though is the Micro Machines guy. Not
is that maybe that's that. Who John Machetta is.
I don't know. Maybe.
Hold on. So yeah, he is the same guy. That it is the Micro Machine guy. I forgot about Micro Machines.
That's funny. That's like the only one I can think of that's like that.
But I can speak like that. That was the same guy who did the Micro Machine commercials as well. I have to look up Micro Machines now. Oh my gosh. That's too crazy.
Sending you down another hole.
Oh, we're getting to toys eventually. So I'm going to move on to soup.
Oh.
So I had to bring this one up because for some reason, as I was going through commercials and slogans, I was thinking of Campbell's Soup.
Okay.
And the commercial that has the alien in it.
Oh God, I don't know that one.
If you look it up, you might, but I don't remember. It was on one of my VHS TV recordings.
Oh, okay. So that's why.
But old movie. Oh yeah. It's from that time.
For sure.
And I can't remember what movie it comes in through because there were times with the VHS that you had the commercials left in or you were there to pause
and
your commercials out, right?
Yep.
But anyways. Sometimes I wish I still had some of these things. I mean, like I had quite the VHS collection.
Yes, you did. We never recorded from our own VHS
Recorded everything. And then we had the two VHSs. So we're bad.
Yes, you had one heck of a... I think that's why we spent so much damn time at your house because you had all the fun stuff.
In television.
Yes. You had the video games. You had the best movies. We could stay up late and watch roller derby. I mean, come on now.
Throw play money into the fan and smoke our pretend cigarettes out of Crayola colored pencils.
Oh, God.
But, you know, cleaning out, I've moved so many times in life and then I find... You have to clean out some of the clutter around you before you can clean out your internal self. You know what I mean? Absolutely. So it was like, let's get rid of the unnecessary things that I have. Yes.
Yep.
And get rid of whatever attachment to them. Some of those things. Right.
Yep.
And then that way you can go dig deeper internally and clean those things out too. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Anyways, that's what triggered this. Anyway, moving on to soup. So in 1869, Joseph Campbell, a wholesale fruit and vegetable vendor, and Abraham Anderson,
a commercial canner and packer, form the firm of Anderson and Campbell in Camden, New Jersey.
Okay.
They produced and sold canned fruits and vegetable preserves.
Interesting.
And then 1895 marked the first jar of ready-to-eat soup, which was beef, steak, tomato.
Ew.
So you didn't have to add water. It was just ready okay. to eat. And I think back then it came in glass, too, I believe, the soup.
Yeah, from it was healthier then than it was than it
different
is
now, packaging.
Like, yeah.
So that beefsteak tomato has been their signature product for over 25 years, and it is featured on their labels.
Cool.
So that was the first addition to that label.
Nice.
So come 1897, the concept of condensed soup came to life, and that led to smaller packaging around that yep. time. We now have cans.
Yep.
So at 10 cents a can, they expanded to 21 kinds of condensed soups. The first red and white soup label came in 1898 after the company executive attended an annual Cornpen football game. Oh, Cornwall, Pennsylvania, right?
Yep.
Oh, look at me. Game and is impressed by Cornell's red and white uniform. So that was the inspiration
that was the impetus
for the can.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. I didn't know that.
No. And then it wasn't until 1930. That the famous red and white label came to Canada.
Jeez.
So they first thought of it. It was inspired in 1898. And yeah, in Canada, we got it in 1930.
Well, you know. You Canadians, you take forever to get stuff.
Oh, but we have so many good things that you don't
yes,
have.
You do. Yes, you do.
We can debate
Absolutely.
This all day. No,
nope. There is no debate because no, your Chinese food great. And your pizza will always be better.
Yes, but I will tell you the variety of flavor of food you have.
Truth.
So come the 1900s. So these are just a few things that happened during the 1900s. So the company wins a bronze medal for product excellence at the Paris Exposition. The medallion is added to the can label where it still appears today. So now we have the tomato and the medallion. Campbell's kids are born when Philadelphia artist Grace Dayton sketches them for a series of streetcar advertisements. The first national ad campaign debuted in magazines like Good Housekeeping in the early 1900s. And then in 1916, the first cookbook using the condensed soup was titled Helps for the Hostess.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, there's so many recipes with the condensed soup, the cream of mushroom and all that.
Yeah. Oh, that's God, yeah.
Recipes, eh?
Absolutely. So I think I actually still have a Campbell's soup cook, you know, like cookbook, like you said. With
yeah.
For all
cream
of the
broccoli,
cream of...
all their cream soups and stuff like that.
Yep.
The good jingle came out on our radio in 1931.
Jeez.
So this is something I had no idea. The name of chicken noodle soup, you know how we call it chicken noodle?
Yeah.
It was actually called, when it was introduced in 1934, Campbell's Noodle with Chicken.
Okay.
But because the radio announcer misread the ad when they were obviously talking about it on the radio, the name just kind of stuck as chicken noodle.
Interesting.
Which I think just flows a little better than noodle with chicken.
Yes.
No, it sounds a little better. And then 1940s, the test kitchen opens. So professionally trained home economics developed recipes using the condensed soups, which many went on to become classic recipes, such as, of course, what is the one Campbell's cream soup recipe everybody knows, everybody makes.
Maybe not me.
The green bean casserole recipe.
Oh, do you know what's funny is I never had green bean casserole until I moved here.
I've had it here a few times, but not growing up.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, we never had it growing up. It was not a food that our families knew about and ate.
No. And then I've had it just like a few Thanksgivings and stuff because it's a nice quick recipe, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. But I've had it a few times there. So it's good. Yeah. And then
my brother-in-law likes to add a bunch of stuff to his because, you know.
Oh, jazz it up a little bit.
Jazz it up a little bit. I remember one year he put truffle oil in it and it was so good.
Oh, yes.
Was so that good. So good? Okay, I was gonna say, was that like a sarcastic so good?
No,
was that
like a real no, so good? I was, and I'm I like, was
that
like,
was a real so good.
Well, I remember thinking like, truffles are mushrooms. I'm not gonna like this, and it was so good.
No, it's yum. I've had them on pizza, the truffle Ooh, mushrooms before.
Really?
They up the price of your pizza a little well, bit,
of
but
of course yeah. they do. They'll use any excuse they can get.
It was pretty good though. The one time I did that,
heck yeah.
So in 1955, a new corporate headquarters is opened less than a mile from the original location in Camden, New Jersey, and that's their home today.
Yep.
We've talked about this before, how companies just acquire other companies or yes. labels and such. So yeah. 1961, Campbell's acquired Pepperidge Farms.
Really?
And then over the years, they have expanded to include V8, Prego, okay. Pace, Habitat, or Habitant, Goldfish, and Pacific Foods.
Oh, okay.
And did you know that the Goldfish debuted in 1962?
Shut up. Really?
But they did not smile back at you until 1997. That's I loved funny. Reading that. I was
the snack
like,
that smiles back.
Ooh. I didn't realize they didn't always smile because every time I've eaten them, they've smiled for me. So
that's funny.
I probably
okay.
didn't eat them before then.
So pause here because I have to say my Goldfish thing. Everyone go on YouTube and look up Goldfish, not cookie. It's a little boy and his sister sitting in the back seat of a car, and she is egging him on, doing it on purpose because he gets angry because she was like, you know, eat your cookie. He says, not cookie, Goldfish. And he gets so mad and it's hilarious. Just his face gets so angry.
Oh, yeah, because he knows. That's funny. So funny. Yeah. And then I remember a lot of the TV commercials with Campbell's Chunky Soup, NFL, when they became the official sponsor of the NFL.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah, with someone's mom. Wasn't it
Mama's Boy campaign?
Yes.
It was Mama's Boy campaign, and it was like all NFL stars. NFL stars and their mamas.
Yep. I do remember that.
And going back to drunken days, help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Yeah.
Although Life Alert was using that for more, you know,
yes.
practical reasons.
Yes.
Actress Dorothy McHugh was born August 14th, 1907 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and died in 1995.
Did you just say 1994?
I don't know where the accent comes out. It happens sometimes. I'm not going to lie. Just go with it.
I'm totally going with it. I love it.
McHugh dropped out of school in sixth grade and worked in a rug factory. She would frequently attend burlesque shows during her off time and memorized many of their routines.
Interesting.
Because of this, she filled in for a dancer and soon got the job in the Ziegfeld Follies. The Ziegfeld Follies was a series of elaborate theatrical revue productions on Broadway in New York City from 1907 to 1931.
Wow.
She also appeared in the 1937 film Artists and Models, and she also worked as a model.
Okay.
She later became the owner of an apartment building and learned about the part in the Life Call commercial from one of her tenants.
So oh,
she
geez.
Received $60 for her role.
Oh my God, really?
Yes.
That made them so much money.
So she was married twice and had no children. She died in 1995 at the age of 87 following a series of strokes. Aww. Her appearance in the Life Call ad made her a death a notable one. And then a couple other just honorable mentions here that I loved to end us off here. By Menon.
Oh yes, of course.
For the aftershave. That's what it's called, aftershave, and speed stick deodorant. And then do remember, raise your hands.
If you're sure.
Raise your hands if you're sure.
Yep.
Sure deodorant. And then do remember Seabreeze? Beautiful skin can be a breeze with Seabreeze.
Oh, I do.
Do you remember Seabreeze?
It yeah,
threw me I would... right off when I read that.
Yeah, I would never have remembered that without you saying that. Huh.
I don't know why this came up either, but... It was talking about the song, and I don't remember the song, but the song was, it's yum, yum fun, and it's cool
It's clean, and its name is Snoopy Snow Cone Machine. Oh, machine. You drop an ice cube in and get a snow cone out. Yum, yum, fun. That's what it's all about. And then I remembered our Snoopy Snow Cone Machine we had.
Yes, you did. You are the cool house, I'm telling you.
Facebook, a picture of the Snoopy Snow Cone Machine up too. That was my sister's.
You can still buy those. You know that, right?
I know you can, yes. Trust me, I did see that. I may have one at some point.
I was going to say, you never know. It might just show up at your house for Christmas.
And then the Snuggle Bear. If you love snuffles.
Oh, yes.
You'll love Snuggle Fabric Softener.
Yep.
Yep. And that was the Snuggle Bear.
Sure. Well, that was fun. I liked going back and reviewing some of the the fun showy slogans and stuff.
I find it just, I don't know. I don't realize things came out so long ago, like Campbell's Soup.
Well, and it makes me want to go back and watch some of the old commercials from the Super Bowl and stuff like that. I love the Super Bowl for the commercials.
Oh yeah. I just like going back and looking at anything, nostalgia me that triggers something in there. And I love watching all those the commercials, because advertising, you think in the 80s it was coming so big and all these new things were coming out. We had all these new artificial sweeteners and all these low fat, low this, and I don't know, all that stuff, all the new
everything that we thought was healthy.
The new chemicals coming out. Yeah. And, making life easier with all these new chemicals and know what I mean? So then advertising was just so big and colorful and everything was just cheesy and bright. I don't know. Do you know?
Well, and you couldn't get away from the commercials and the toys and all of that stuff.
No, and we were watching TV a lot more because you didn't have all this streaming stuff now. So people like me don't even watch live TV.
Yes.
Hardly anymore like that. Yep. Some channels I do, but it's just so different. But you got to keep moving along with it, man.
You got to keep moving. Stay up with the times.
Woohoo. All right.
All right. Well, you have a great week, and I will talk to you soon.
See y'all again.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Hope you enjoyed the show today. We would love for you to email any fun facts based on our chat or comments to friendsandfactoids@gmail.com. That's friends, the letter N, factoids@gmail.com.
We'd also love to have you along for our next episode. You can subscribe to our show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, please rate and review us. We appreciate the feedback, and it also helps us to be discovered by more people. Always remember, you're beautiful.
Inside and out.